and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Ghost Camp by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. First off, goddamn, gotta give a big thank you to motherfucking Nick N from San Diego, where I'm currently recording. Goddamn, seriously, thank you. That's fucking amazing. Goddamn, seriously? I sent you a Facebook message, you didn't even respond, but whatever. Whatever. And then thank you to Pulver for giving money to the old Patreon, like all you should, at Patreon, patreon.com/Dune. Thank you, Pulver, except for, I feel like that now I just need to, have nicer beer when you come to my home rather than trying to feed you the Steel Reserve, which I'm currently drinking. My schedule's all fucked. That's why there hasn't been episodes, because I'm a crazy person and I can't record this when anyone else that's human is in the house. And the girlfriend now has a job where she's just working, well, the same job, she's still a tattoo artist, but she's working just booth rent only. So she makes all of her own hours and just pays rent and comes in whenever she wants. And aside from the rent she pays, keeps all her money. So she makes way more money and has way more free time to hang around and listen to me get drunk and ramble about how Franklin's the greatest thing that's ever happened to life. This book, the cover of it... Oh, anyway, but the point is I couldn't record because she's here, which is good, except for now I just need to, I think, start recording, like, a couple chapters at a time when I get home before. So, I don't know. That's what I'm either going to do today or power all the way through. I might have time. This book, the cover of it, is, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 what appear to be ghosts in camp uniforms that the people are invisible, right? But you can still see their shoes and their pants and their accessories. And then one girl looking all like, what are these ghosts? That's walking behind all of them. And it says, be all that you can't see. And then there's another addition on there that says, boo, dude, Goosebumps is on TV. See your local TV listings for details. So that's what's up, you know? Anyway, I'm Dune, at Dune on Twitter, at Dune with an underscore and then an M on Instagram. If I can email it, Dune at Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm all over the place. Facebook.com/Dune Reads Goosebumps. Let's just start this. I'm going to take one big pull off this here Steel Reserve, then we'll dive into this boy. And here's where I double check to see if it's recording, because God forbid I lose all that nonsense. Ooh. Chapter! Oh God, the cat just meowed and is looking at me. Hi, Yoda. Stupid naked cat that feels like stupid naked ball sack. Chapter number one! You know I get bus sick, Harry, Alex groaned. Alex, give me a break! I shoved my brother against the window. We're almost there. Don't start thinking about getting bus sick now. The bus rumbled over the narrow road. I held onto the seat in front of me. I gazed out the window. Really, cat? Unbelievable. Not a sound while I'm dicking around on the internet. And then I start doing this, and the cat is, like, diving over boxes and fucking unbelievable. I might actually go back. Seriously, go! Nothing but pine trees. They whirred past in a blur of green. Sunlight bounced off the dusty glass of the window. I drew an ejaculating penis. It was hilarious! We're almost to Camp Spirit Moon! I thought happily. Oh, spirit. You know what that means. They might have liquor. I couldn't wait to get off the bus. My brother, Alex, and I were the only passengers. It was kind of creepy. The driver was hidden in front of a green curtain. I had glimpsed him as Alex and I climbed on board. He had a nice smile, a great suntan, curly blonde hair, and a silver earring in one ear that presumably had a cross dangling down from it. I got one with an upside-down cross that sometimes I dangle when I'm really drunk. And I'm like, hey, Gio, look at me. I'm looking like I'm an extra from Lost Boys. And he said, you know what, Dune? You are looking like you're an extra from Lost Boys. And then he spent like $500 on lighting. By that way, I have no idea if he spent how much he spent, but he did just buy ridiculous lights for his room. I have light bulbs. His room now looks like a strip club and is apparently controlled by his phone. Whatever. Once the long bus ride began, we didn't see or hear from him again. Creepy! Luckily, Alex and I got along okay. He's a year younger than me. He's 11, but he's as tall as I am. Some people call us the Altman twins, even though we're not named Altman. Just kidding, just because they're not twins, you know, they probably are named Altman. We both have straight black hair, dark brown eyes, and serious faces. Our parents are always telling us to cheer up, even when we're in really good moods. I feel a little bus sick, Harry, Alex complained. I turned away from the window. Alex suddenly looked yellow.
Oh, Harry, he's chin tremor. A bad sign.
Apparently that's Asian people. I'm a terrible person. Alex, pretend you're not on a bus, I told him. Pretend you're in a car.
But I get car sick too, he groaned.
Forget the car, I said. Bad idea. Alex can get car sick when Mom backs down the driveway. I know how he is. I was on a ferry boat 2 days ago. I didn't get sick. I had a nice buzz on and took some Dramamine just in case. That's my whole story. Fantastic, dude. It's really a bad news habit of his. His face turns a sick yellow. He starts to shake, and then it gets kind of messy. You've got to hold on, I told him. We'll be at camp soon, and then you'll be fine. Yoda! Now he's climbing a bookshelf, or he's like on top of it. He swallowed hard. The bus bounced over a deep hole in the road. Alex and I bounced with it because we're inside the bus, and when the bus bounces, the people inside of the bus bounce. I feel real sick, Alex moaned. I know, I cried. Sing a song. That always cures you. Sing a song, Alex, sing it loud. No one will hear. We're the only ones on the bus. Alex loves to sing. He has a beautiful voice, just like Dune. Stop it. The music teacher at school says that Alex has perfect pitch.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, da.
No big deal. I've told myself I have perfect pitch, too. I'm not sure what that means, but I know it's a good thing. Alex is serious about his singing. He's in the chorus at school. Dad says he's going to find a voice teacher for Alex this fall. I stared at my brother as the bus bounced again. His face was about as yellow as a Chinaman now. Not a good sign. Go ahead, sing, I urged him. Alex's chin trembled. He cleared his throat. Then he began to sing a Beatles song we both really like.
My name is John Lennon. I like to talk about peace, but I really beat women. I want to tell you not to appreciate material things, and then I want to live a rich, exclusive life. Hey, Mark David Chapman, why you got that gun? Bang, bang, now I'm dead because I'm a hypocrite.
That was my Beatles song. His voice bounced every time the bus bumped, but he started to look better as soon as he started to sing. Pretty smart idea, Harry, I congratulated myself. I watched the pine trees whir past in the sunlight and listened to Alex's song. He really does have an awesome voice. Am I jealous? Maybe a little. But he can't hit a tennis ball the way I can. And I can beat him in a swim race every time. So it evens out. You know, if we were going to get chased by sharks or some shit. Sharks or some shit. He'd get eaten first. Alex stopped singing. He shook his head unhappily.
I wish Mom and Dad signed me up for music camp. He sighed.
Alex, the summer is half over. I reminded him. How many times do we have to go over this shit? Mom and Dad waited too long. It was too late. You know they love getting high and hate doing things.
I know, Alex said, frowning. But I wish...
Camp Spirit Moon was the only camp we could get into this late in the summer, I said. Hey, look! I spotted...
two deer outside the window, a tall one and a little baby one. They were just standing there, staring at the bus as it sped by, as Dune was receiving text messages. I will check from the girlfriend as soon as I finish this chapter. Yeah, cool deer, Alex muttered. He rolled his eyes. Hey, lighten up, I told him. My brother is so moody. Sometimes I just want to shake him. Camp Spirit Moon may be the coolest camp on Earth, I said. Or it could be a fucking shithole, Alex replied. He picked at something set the stuffing and shit in the back of the fucking bus seat. The music camp is so great, he sighed. They put on two musicals each summer. That would have been so awesome. I bet there'd be so many cute dudes there singing and dancing and just shaking their young bodies. Alex, forget about that camp and forget about the young dudes, I told him. Let's enjoy Camp Spirit Moon. We only have a few weeks. Hey, it could be full of hunks. The bus suddenly screeched to a stop. Startled, I bounced forward, then back. I turned to the window, expecting to see a camp out there. But all I could see were pine trees, and more fucking pine trees. Camp Spirit Moon, everybody out, the driver called. Everybody? It was just me and Alex. The driver poked his blonde head from behind the curtain. Great a hunk. He grinned at us. How's the ride, dudes? He asked. Great, I replied, stepping into the aisle. Alex didn't say anything. The driver climbed out. We followed him around to the side of the bus. Bright sunlight made the tall grass sparkle all around us. It was magical. He leaned into a compartment and pulled out our bags and sleeping bags. He set everything down on the grass. Where's the camp? I shielded my eyes with my hand and searched around. The narrow road curved through a forest of pine trees as far as I could see. Right through there, dudes, the driver said. He pointed to a dirt path that cut through the trees. It's a real short walk, bros, if you can't miss it, jabroni. The driver shut the baggage compartment. He climbed back onto the bus. Have a great time, he called. The door shut. The bus roared away. Dune cleared his throat. And since he already stopped, he might as well have some more malt liquor. Alex and I squinted through the bright sunlight at the dirt path. I swung my duffel bag over my shoulder. I swung my duffel bag! Then I tucked my sleeping bag under one arm. Shouldn't the camp send someone out here to greet us? Alex asked. I shrugged. You heard the driver. He said it's a very short walk. Yeah, but still, Alex won the argument. Shouldn't they send a counselor to meet us out here on the road? It's not the first day of camp, I reminded him. It's the middle of the fucking summer. Stop complaining about everything, you Jew. Pick up your stuff and let's get going. It's hot out here. Sometimes I just have to be the big brother and order him around. Otherwise, we won't get anywhere. He picked up his shit, and I led the way to the path. Our sneakers crickety crunched over the dry red dirt as we made our way through the trees. The driver didn't lie. Hadn't lied. He might not lie in general. That could have been the right pronunciation. We'd walked only 2 or 3 minutes when we came to a small, grassy clearing. A wooden sign with red painted letters proclaimed Camp Spirit Moon. An arrow pointed to the right. See, we're here, I declared cheerfully. We followed a short path up a low, sloping hill. Two brown rabbits scurried past, nearly in front of our feet. Yellow and red wildflowers swayed along the side of the hill. Red and yellow. When we reached the top, we could see the camp. It looks like a real camp, I exclaimed. I could see rows of white cabins stretched in front of a round blue lake. Several canoes were tied to a wooden dock that stuck out into the lake. Jason was presumably drowned inside. A large stone building stood off to the side, probably the mess hall or meeting lodge or some shit. A round dirt area near the woods had benches all around it. For fucking, I don't know, campfires? Making s'mores and shit, I guess. So, you know, I like s'mores. Everyone likes s'mores. I don't really like s'mores as an adult. I'm sorry, I'm such a disappointment.
Hey, Harry, they have a baseball diamond and a soccer field, Alex said, pointing and wondering why Dune pronounced diamond with an extra syllable.
Excellent, I cried.
I saw a row of round red and white targets at the edge of the trees.
Wow, they have archery too,
I told Alex. I love archery. I'm pretty good at it.
I shifted the heavy duffel bag on my shoulder. We started down the hill to the camp. We both stopped halfway down the hill and stared at each other.
Do you notice anything weird? Alex asked. I nodded. Yeah, I do.
I suddenly noticed something very weird. Something that made my throat tighten and my stomach feel like I had to diarrhea. The camp was empty. No one there.
RL, I feel like you could have just stopped at empty. Whatever, doesn't matter.
Chapter number 2.
Where is everyone? I asked, moving my eyes from cabin to cabin, no one in sight. I squinted at the lake behind the cabins, no more Asian jokes. Two small, dark birds glided low over the sparkling water, no one swimming there.
Maybe it was a black camp.
Moved on to the black jokes. They can't swim. I turned to the woods that surrounded the camp. The afternoon sun had begun to lower itself over the pine trees. No sign of any campers in the woods.
Apparently, my girlfriend was unaware of the stereotype that black people can't swim, and we were on that ferry, and the captain was black. And I was like, "Ah, babe, don't even worry about anything. You know we're not going to sink. But there's no way we can get an accident if the captain can't swim. I'm confident in his abilities." And she was like, "What? Why can't he swim?" And I was like, "Damn it.
Maybe we're in the wrong place," Alex said softly.
"Huh? Wrong place?"
I pointed to the sign. "How can we be in the wrong place? It says Camp Spirit Moon, doesn't it?"
"Maybe they all went on a field trip or some shit," Alex suggested.
I rolled my eyes.
"Don't you know anything about camp?" I snapped. "You don't go on field trips. There's nowhere to go."
"You don't have to shout, asshole," Alex whined.
"Then stop saying stupid shit," I replied angrily. Wow, they actually did capture the dynamic of brothers.
"We're all alone in the woods in an empty camp. We've got to think clearly. Maybe they're all in that big stone building over there," Alex suggested.
"Let's go check it out." I didn't see any signs of life there. Nothing moved. The whole camp was still as a photograph.
"Yeah, come on," I told Alex. "We might as well check it out."
We were still about halfway down the hill, following the path through the tangles of pine trees, when a loud cry made us both stop and gasp in surprise.
"Yo, hey, wait up!"
A red-haired boy in white tennis shorts and a white t-shirt appeared beside us. I guessed he was 16 or 17.
"Where the fuck did you come from?" I cried.
He really startled me. One second, Alex and I were alone. The next second, this red-haired guy was still standing there, grinning at us. Also, that word "still" was added for no reason. He pointed to the woods.
"I was gathering firewoods," he explained. "Get it? Firewood? Fire crotch? Ah, you guys are all right. I lost track of time."
"Are you a counselor?" I asked. He wiped sweat off his forehead with the front of his t-shirt.
"Yes, my name is Chris. You're Harry and Alex, right?"
Alex and I nodded.
"I'm sorry, I'm late," Chris apologized.
"You weren't worried, were you?"
"Of course not. I wasn't worried. I was cool as a cucumber,"
I replied quickly.
Harry was a little scared, but I wasn't, Alex said. Sometimes Alex can be a real bitch.
"Where is everyone?" I asked Chris. "We didn't see any campers or counselors or anyone."
"They all left," Chris replied.
He shook his head sadly. When he turned back to Alex and me, I saw the frightened expression on his face.
"The three of us were all alone out here," he said in a trembling voice.
Chapter number 3, motherfucking 3.
"Huh? They left?"
Alex cried shrilly.
"But where did they go?"
"We can't be all alone," I cried. "The woods
A smile spread over Chris's freckled fucking face. Then he burst out laughing.
Sorry, guys. I can't keep a straight face.
He put his arms around our shoulders and led us toward the camp.
I'm just joking. Excuse me? That was a joke?
I demanded. I was feeling very confused.
It's a Camp Spirit Moon joke, Chris explained, still grinning. We play it on all the new campers. Everyone hides in the woods when the new campers arrive at the camp. Then a counselor tells them the campers all ran away, that they're all alone.
Very funny joke, I said sarcastically. Are all kids that annoying sarcastic? Do they do that? Sorry, fucking grammar.
The kids all do that shit, or was it like a 90s thing where it's like, yeah, very funny?
You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
You always try to scare the new campers? Alex asked.
Chris nodded.
Yeah, it's a Camp Spirit Moon tradition. We have a lot of great traditions here. You'll see. Like molestation. Tonight at the campfire, he stopped when he saw a big black-haired man, also dressed in white, who came lumbering across the grass toward us.
Yo!
The man called in a booming, deep voice.
This is Uncle Marv, Chris whispered. He runs the camp.
Yo! Uncle Marv repeated in his molestery tone as he stepped up to us. Harry, what's up?
He slapped me a high five that nearly knocked me into the trees.
Uncle Marv grinned down at Alex and me.
He was so huge.
I just did that thing where, like, you make a fist and then you bend your arm up so it's, like, facing vertically and then grab the end of it. It's a move that Lil Jon does in that Lazy Town video to insinuate a huge cock. And it's just, that's what I was doing right now. God, I should do this as a live show. Who's going to pay to see this? Bring your friends.
He reminded me of a big grizzly bear at the zoo back home, or at the manhole bar. He had long, greasy black hair that fell wildly over his face. Tiny, round, blue eyes like marbles under bushy black eyebrows. His arms bulged out from under his shirt. Powerful arms like a wrestler. His neck was as wide as a tree trunk.
That, you know, like a 6-inch tree trunk. Not that wide. It was just a normal neck.
He reached down and shook Alex's hand. I heard a loud crunch and saw Alex gasp in pain.
Good firm handshake, son, Uncle Marv told Alex.
He turned to me.
Did Chris play our little alone in the woods joke on you guys?
His voice boomed so loud I wanted to cover my fucking ears.
Does Uncle Marv ever whisper?
I wondered. Soon enough, I would find out and regret asking the question. It doesn't say that I added the pedophilia joke, just like the other ones.
Yeah, he fooled us, I confessed. I really thought there was no one here.
Uncle Marv's tiny blue eyes sparkled.
It's one of our oldest traditions, he said, grinning.
What a grin! It looked to me as if he had at least 6 rows of teeth.
Before I take you to your cabin, I want to teach you the Camp Spirit Moon greeting, Uncle Marv said.
Chris and I will show it to you.
They stood facing each other.
Yo, spirits! Uncle Marv bellowed.
Yo, spirits!
Chris boomed back all gingery.
Then they gave each other a left-handed salute like a Nazi, placing the hand on the nose, then swinging it straight out into the air at their Führer.
That's how Camp Spirit Moon campers greet each other, Uncle Marv told us.
He pushed Alex and me together.
You two try it.
I don't know about you, but this kind of thing embarrasses the fuck out of me.
No, it embarrasses anyone with dignity.
I don't like funny greetings and salute. Makes me feel like a jerk.
Well, you would be a jerk.
But I had just arrived at camp, and I didn't want Uncle Marv to think I was a bad sport. So, I stood in front of my brother.
Yo, spirits, I shouted, and I gave Alex a sharp nose salute.
Yo, spirits!
Alex showed a lot more enthusiasm than I did.
He likes this kind of thing. He flashed me a sharp salute.
Uncle Marv tossed back his head in a loud, bellowing laugh.
Very good, guys. I think you're both going to be great Camp Spirit Moon campers. He winked at Chris. Of course, the campfire tonight is the real test. Chris nodded, grinning.
The campfire? Tonight? I asked. A test?
Uncle Marv patted my shoulder. Don't worry about it, Harry. You're a wizard, Harry!
No, this would be a much cooler book if he said that.
Something about the way he said that made me worry a lot.
All the new campers come to a welcoming campfire, Chris explained. It's a chance to learn our Camp Spirit Moon traditions.
Don't tell them any more about it, Uncle Marv told Chris sharply. We want them to be surprised, don't we?
Surprised? I choked out.
Why did I suddenly have such a bad feeling? Why did my throat tighten up again? Maybe because it doesn't want anything rammed down it. Why did I have a fluttering feeling in my chest?
Do we sing camp songs at the welcoming fire? I asked.
Or Alex asked. Sorry, he did not ask.
I'm really into singing. I take voice lessons back home and...
Don't worry, you'll sing a plenty. Uncle Marv interrupted in a low, almost menacing voice.
I caught the cold look in his tiny eyes, cold as blue ice, and I felt a shiver roll down my back. He's trying to scare us, I thought. It's all a joke. He's having fun with us. He always tries to scare new campers. It's a Camp Spirit Moon tradition.
I think you boys will enjoy the campfire tonight. Uncle Marv boomed. If you survive it.
He and Chris started to laugh.
Catch you later, Chris said.
He gave Alex and me a nose salute and vanished into the woods.
This will be your bunk, Uncle Marv announced.
He pulled open the screen of a tiny white cabin.
Whoa! He nearly pulled the door off its hinges.
Oh no, he's so big. Big people don't know how strong they are.
Alex and I dragged our duffels and sleeping bags into the cabin. I saw bunk beds against three of the walls, narrow wooden chests of drawers, cubby holes for storage shit, glory holes for coming in. The walls were white. The walls next to the glory holes were especially white. A light dangling from the ceiling cast a bright glow. I need to learn to read. The afternoon sun sent orange rays through a small window above one of the bunk beds.
Not bad, I thought. That bunk is free, Uncle Marv told us, pointing to his own bunk. Just kidding, pointing to the bed against the window. You guys get to decide who gets the top and who gets the bottom. Oh, come on, that's too easy.
I need the bottom,
Alex said quickly. I toss and turn a lot at night.
And he sings in his sleep, I told Uncle Marv.
Do you believe it? Alex is so into singing, he doesn't even stop when he's sleeping.
You guys ought to try out for our talent show, Uncle Marv told Alex.
And then he repeated in a low voice,
if you survive tonight, he laughed.
Why did he keep saying that? He's kidding, I reminded myself.
Uncle Marv is just kidding.
The boys' cabins are on the left, Uncle Marv told us, and the girls' cabins are on the right. We all use the lodge and mess hall. It's that big stone building near the woods.
Should we unpack now?
Alex asked. Marv pushed back his greasy-ass hair and shit, and he was all like,
yes, use any cubbies that are empty. You guys better hurry. The rest of the campers will be back from the woods soon with firewood. It'll be time for our campfire.
He gave us a yo spirits and a sharp-nosed Nazi salute. And then he turned and lumbered the fuck away. The screen door slammed hard behind him.
Fun guy, I muttered, looking at a small piece of mushroom.
Get it, like fungi?
He's kind of scary, Alex admitted.
He's just joking, I said.
All summer camps try to terrify the new campers, I think. I dragged my duffel bag over to the bed.
But it's all in fun. There ain't nothing to be scared about, Alex, I told my brother. Nothing at all. I tossed my sleeping bag into the corner. Then I started toward the low dresser to see if I could find an empty drawer.
Whoa!
I cried out as my sneaker stuck on something near the glory holes. I peered down. A blue puddle? My sneaker had landed in a sticky blue puddle. Hey! I tugged my sneaker out. The blue liquid was thick. It stuck to the bottom and sides of my shoe. I glanced around the room and saw more blue puddles. A sticky blue puddle in front of every bed? What's going on here? What is this stuff? I cried. I just took the most eventful 15-minute break ever. And I ain't telling you shit about it. Chapter number motherfucking four. Alex had his bag open and was pulling stuff out and spreading it on the bottom bed. What's your problem, Harry? He called without turning around. It's some kind of blue slime, I replied. Check it out! There are puddles all over the floor. Big deal, Alex muttered. He turned and glanced at the blue liquid stuck to my sneaker.
It's probably a camp tradition,
he joked. I didn't think it was funny. Yuck! I exclaimed. I reached down and poked my finger into the tiny round puddle. So cold! The blue slime felt freezing cold. Startled, I pulled my hand away. It was probably ectoplasm. The cold swept up my arm. I shook my hand, then I rubbed it, trying to warm it. Weird, I muttered. Of course, everything got a lot weirder. In a hurry. There's a drinking break here, which fits perfectly as I just got a brand new tall can of Tecate. By the way, it's 5:14. I left work early to record Goosebumps. So my girlfriend's going to get home and I'm like, what are you doing home? Don't talk to me. No, I haven't been drinking. You know I'm always drinking. And it's going to be very uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Campfire time! Uncle Marv's cry through the screen door shook our cabin. Alex and I spun to face the door. It had taken us forever to unpack our stuff. To my surprise, the sun had lowered. The sky outside the door was an evening gray. Everyone is waiting, Uncle Marv announced. A gleeful smile spread over his face, and lubricant was spread all over the rest of his body. His tiny eyes practically disappeared in the smile. We all love the welcoming campfire. Alex and I followed him outside. I took a deep breath. The air smelled fresh and piney.
Wow!
Alex cried out. The campfire was already blazing. 420! Orange and yellow flames leaped up to the gray sky. We followed Uncle Marv to the round clearing where the fire had been built and saw the other campers and counselors for the first time. They sat around the fire, all facing us, watching us.
Hey, I'm a dinner. Somebody, what you mean?
They're all dressed alike, I exclaimed. The camp uniform, Uncle Marv said. I'll get you and Alex your camp uniforms tonight after the campfire. As Alex and I neared the circle, the campers and counselors rose to their feet. A deafening, yo, spirits, shook the trees. Then 100 left-handed nose salutes greeted us. Alex and I returned the greeting. Chris, the ginger fucker, appeared beside us.
Welcome, guys, he said. We're going to roast hot dogs in the fire before the campfire activities begin, so grab a stick and a hot dog and join the F in.
The other kids were lining up in front of a long food table. I saw a huge platter of raw hot dogs in the center of the table. As I hurried to get in line, several kids said hi to me.
You're in my cabin,
a tall boy with curly blonde hair said.
It's the best cabin. Cabin number 7 rules,
a girl shouted with her girl voice. Ugh, she's probably menstruating.
This is an awesome camp,
the kid in front of me turned to say.
You're gonna have a great time, Harry.
They seemed to be really nice kids. Up ahead, a boy and a girl were having a playful shoving match, trying to knock each other out of line. Other kids began cheering them on. The fire crackled behind me like thousands of tiny crack rocks. The orange light from its flames danced over everyone's white shorts and shirts. I felt a little weird not being dressed in white. I was wearing an Olive Garden t-shirt and faded denim cutoffs. It really says olive green, but I figured it'd be funnier if he was wearing an Olive Garden shirt, because who the fuck would represent Olive Garden except for hipsters? I wonder if Alex felt weird too. I turned and searched for him in line. He was behind me, always atop, talking excitedly to a short blonde boy. I felt glad that Alex had found a friend so fast. Two counselors handed out the hot dogs. I suddenly realized I was starving! Mom had packed sandwiches for Alex and me to eat on the bus, but we were too excited and nervous to eat them. I took the hot dog and turned to the crackling fire. Several kids were already huddled around the fire, poking their hot dogs on long sticks into flames. "Where do I get a stick?" I asked myself, glancing around. "The sticks are over there," a girl's voice called from behind me, as if she had read my fucking mind. I turned and saw a girl about my age, dressed in white, of course. She was very pretty, with dark eyes and shiny black hair, pulled back in a ponytail that fell down her back. Her skin was so pale, her dark eyes appeared to glow. She had boobs. She smiled at me. "New kids never know where to find the sticks," she said. She led the way to a pile of sticks leaning against a tall pine tree. She picked up two of them and handed one to me. "Your name's Harry, right?" she asked. She had a deep, husky voice for a girl. Ooh, I'll just use my voice. Like she was whispering all the time. Ooh, that's not like my voice. I'm like I'm yelling all the time. "Yeah, Harry Altman," I told her. I suddenly felt very shy. I don't know why. I turned away from her and shoved the hot dog onto the end of the stick, like a dick forcibly going into an orifice it doesn't belong.
"My name is Lucy,"
she said, making her way to the circle of kids around the fire. I followed her. The kids' faces were all flickering orange and yellow in the firelight. The aroma of roasting hot dogs made me feel even hungrier. Four girls were huddled together, probably talking about dumb shit, laughing about something. I saw a boy eating his roasted hot dog right off the stick.
Gross,
Lucy said, making a disgusted voice.
"Let's go over here."
She led me to the other side of the campfire. Something popped in the fire. It sounded like a firecracker exploding. We both jumped. Lucy laughed. We sat down on the grass, raising the long sticks, and poked our hot dogs into the flames. The fire was roaring now. I could feel its heat on my face.
"I like mine really black,"
Lucy said without joking. She turned her stick and pushed it deeper into the flames.
"I just love that burnt taste. How about you? Once you go extremely burnt on a hot dog, you never go back."
I opened my mouth to answer her, but my hot dog fell off the stick. "Oh no!" I cried. I watched it fall into the sizzling red-hot blanket of flames. I turned to Lucy, and to my surprise, to my fucking horror, she leaned forward. She stuck her hand deep into the fire and grabbed my hot dog from the burning embers and lifted it out. Chapter number 5. I jumped to my feet.
"Your fucking hand!"
I shrieked. Yellow flames leaped over her hand and upper arm. She handed me the hot dog. "Here," she said calmly.
"But your fucking hand!"
I cried again, gaping in horror. The flames slowly burned low on her skin. She glanced down at her hand, confused, as if she didn't know why I was in such a panic. "Oh, hey," she finally cried. Her dark eyes grew wide. "Ow, that's fucking hot," she exclaimed. She shook her hand hard, shook it until the flames went out. Then she laughed. "At least I rescued your poor hot dog. Hope you like yours burned. But I sputtered. I stared at her hand and arm. The flames had spread all over her skin, but I couldn't see any burns, not a fucking mark.
The buns are over here,
she said.
You want some potato chips? Boil them, mash them. That'd be a gross way to eat chips.
I kept staring at her hand. Should we find the nurse? I asked. She rubbed her arm and wrist. No, I'm fine, really. She wiggled her fingers.
See?
But the fire! Come on, Harry! She pulled me back to the food table. It's almost time for the campfire activities to start. I ran into Alex at the food table. He was still hanging out with the short blonde boy. I made a friend already, Alex told me. He had a mouthful of potato chips. His name is Elvis. Do you believe it? Elvis McGraw. He's in our cabin. Cool, I muttered. I was still thinking about the flames rolling up and down that bitch's arm. This is a great camp, Alex declared. Elvis and I are going to try out for the talent show and the musical. Cool, I repeated. I grabbed a hot dog bun and tossed some potato chips on my plate. Then I searched for Lucy. I saw her talking to a group of girls by the fire.
Yo, spirits!
A deep voice bellowed. No way anyone could mistake that cry. It had to be Uncle Phil. Just kidding, it's Uncle Marv. Uncle Phil's dead, fuckers.
Places around the council fire, everyone, he ordered. Hurry! Places, everyone!
Holding plates and cans of soda, everyone scurried to form a circle around the fire. The girls all sat together and the boys all sat together. I guessed each cabin had its own place. Uncle Marv led Alex and me to a spot in the middle.
Yo, spirits! He cried again,
so loud the fire trembled.
Everyone repeated the cry and gave the salute.
We'll begin by singing our camp song, Uncle Marv announced.
Everyone stood up. Uncle Marv started singing, and everyone joined in. I tried to sing along, but of course I didn't know the fucking words or the tune. The song kept repeating the line,
We have the spirit, and the spirit has us.
I didn't really understand it, but I thought it was pretty fucking cool. It was a long song. It had a lot of verses, and it always came back to,
We have the spirit, and the spirit has us.
Alex was singing at the top of his lungs. What a fucking show-off faggot-ass bitch. He didn't know the words either, but he was faking it and singing as loud as he could. Alex is cray about his beautiful singing voice and his perfect pitch. Meh. He has to show it off whenever he can. I gazed past my brother. His new friend, Elvis, had his head tossed back, much like a Peanuts character, being all like, this is Charlie Brown Christmas, and his mouth wide open. He was singing at the top of his lungs, too, and had his arms by his side and kept wiggling back and forth with only like 4 or 5 frames of animation. I think Alex and Elvis were having some kind of contest, seeing who could sing the leaves off the trees. The only problem, Elvis was a terrible singer. You take that back, boy. He had a high, whiny voice, and his notes were all coming out sour. As my dad would say, he couldn't carry a tune in a wheelbarrow. In a wheelbarrow! I wanted to cover my ears, but I was trying to sing along, too. It wasn't easy with the two of them beside me. Alex sang so loud, I could see veins in his neck pulsing. Hey, listeners. Alex should sing solo. Solo, I can't hear him. That is a joke from the tiki room. I got a tiki room tattoo on my wrist. I'm an idiot. Elvis tried to drown him out with his sour, off-key wails. My face felt hot. At first, I thought it was the heat from the blazing campfire, but then I realized I was blushing. I felt so embarrassed by Alex showing off like that on his first night at camp. Uncle Marv wasn't watching. He had wandered over to the girl's side of the fire, singing as he walked. I slipped back, away from the fire. I felt too embarrassed to stay there. I'll sneak back into place as soon as the song is over, I decided. I just couldn't sit there and watch my brother act like a total jerk! The camp song continued.
We have the spirit, and the spirit has us, everyone sang.
Doesn't the song ever end?
No, because it's the song that it just goes on and on. Some people started singing and not knowing what it was, and it goes on and shit forever just because it is the song something something.
I backed away into the trees. I felt a lot cooler as soon as I moved away from the fire. Even back here, I could hear Alex singing his heart out. I've got to talk to him. I told myself I've got to tell him that it isn't cool to show off like that. Oh, I let out a sharp cry as I felt a tap on my shoulder. Someone grabbed me from behind.
Hey!
I spun around to face the trees, squinting into the Star Trek II into the darkness.
Lucy, what are you doing back here?
I gasped.
Help me, Harry,
she pleaded in a whisper. You've got to help me.
Help me lose my virginity.
Wow, wow.
Chapter 6, bitch. Chapter 6. A chill ran down my back.
Lucy, what's wrong?
I whispered. She opened her mouth to reply, but Uncle Marv's booming voice interrupted.
Hey, you two!
The camp director shouted.
Harry! Lucy! No sneaking off into the woods for the old in-out, in-out.
The campers all burst out laughing. I could feel my face turning hot again. I'm one of those kids who blushes very easily. I hate it, but what can I do? Everyone stared at Lucy and me as we made our way back to the fire. Alex and Elvis were slapping asses and laughing at us. Also high fives. Uncle Marv kept his eyes on me as I trudged back.
I'm glad you make friends so easily, Harry,
he boomed. And all the campers started laughing at Lucy and me again. I felt so embarrassed. I wanted to shrivel up and disappear. That makes two of us. But I was also worried about Lucy. Had she followed me to the woods? Why? Why did she ask me to help her? I sat down between Lucy and Elvis.
Lucy, what's wrong?
I whispered. She just shook her head. She didn't look at me.
Now, I'm gonna tell the two ghost stories. Marv, uncle, comma, announced. To my surprise, some kids gasped.
Everyone suddenly became silent. The crackling of the fire seemed to get louder. Behind the pop and crack of the darting flames, I heard steady whisper of wind through the pine trees. Also, there was a thud in there somewhere. I felt a chill on the back of my neck. I literally was checking text messages while reading out loud. Remember in high school when you'd have to read out loud and it'd be like all embarrassing and awkward, and now I'm like checking text messages, drinking, gambling, all sorts of things while I'm doing it. I felt a chill on the back of my fucking neck. Just a cool breeze, I told myself. Why did everyone suddenly look so solemn, so frightened?
The two ghost stories of Camp Spirit Moon have been told from generation to generation. Uncle Marv began.
They are tales that will be told for all time,
for as long as dark legends are told.
Across the fire, I saw a couple of kids shiver. Everyone stared into the fire. Their faces were set, grim, frightened. It's only a ghost story, I told myself. Why is everyone acting so weird? The campers must have heard these ghost stories already this summer, so why do they look so terrified? I snickered. I was hungry, why wait? Just kidding, he didn't mean like Snickers candy bars. How can anyone be afraid of a silly camp ghost story? I turned to Lucy. What's up with these kids? I asked. She narrowed her dark eyes at me.
Aren't you afraid of ghosts?
She whispered.
Ghosts!
I snickered again. Alex and I don't believe in ghosts or gods, I told her, and ghost stories never scare us. Never.
She leaned close to me and whispered in my ear. You might change your mind after tonight.
Chapter number 7!
The flames flickered, crackling up to the dark, starry sky. Uncle Marv leaned into the orange firelight. His tiny, round eyes sparkled. The woods suddenly became quiet. Even the wind stopped whispering. The air felt cold on my back. I scooted closer to the campfire. I saw others move closer too. No one talked. All eyes were on Uncle Marv's smiling face. Then, in a low voice, he told the first ghost story. All right, hold up. I gotta get a... There is a drinking break here, by the way. I'm not going off page. I just gotta get a more solid buzz on before I do this. A group of campers went into the woods for an overnight. They carried tents and sleeping bags. They walked single file along a narrow dirt path that twisted through the trees. Their counselor's name was John. He led them deeper and deeper into the woods. The dark clouds floated overhead. When the clouds covered the full moon, the darkness swept over the campers. They walked close together, trying to see the curving path. Sometimes the clouds moved away and the moonlight poured down on them like a cradle of filth album cover. The trees glowed silver and cold like an AFI song, like ghosts standing in the forest. They sang songs at first, but as they moved deeper into the woods, their voices became tiny and shrill, muffled by the trees. Nothing like the Forbidden Forest from Harry Potter, because that would be plagiarizing. They stopped singing and listened to the scrape of their footsteps and the soft rustling of night animals scampering through the weeds.
"When are we gonna stop and set up camp?"
a girl asked John. "We have to go deeper into the woods," John replied. They kept walking. The air became colder because the sun was fucking gone. The trees bent and shivered around them in a twirling breeze.
"Can we set up camp now, John?"
a boy asked. "No. Deeper," John replied. "Deeper into the forest." The path ended. The campers had to make their way through the trees, around the thorny bushes and the horny counselors, over a deep carpet of crackling dead leaves. Owls hooted overhead, announcing each lick they were on a Tootsie Pop. The campers heard the flutter of bat wings. Creatures scratched and slithered around their feet.
"We're really tired, John,"
a boy complained.
"Can we set up the tents?"
"Deeper into the woods," John insisted. "An overnight is no fun unless you are deep, deep in the woods." So they kept walking, listening to the low hoots and moans of the night animals, watching the old trees bend and sway all around them. Finally, they stepped out into a smooth, wide clearing.
"Can we set up camp now, John?"
the campers begged. "Yes," John agreed. "We are deep in the woods now. This is the perfect place." The campers dropped all the bags and supplies in the middle of the clearing. Silvery moonlight spilled all around them like God's skeet, making the smooth ground shimmer. They pulled out the tents and started to unfold them. But a strange sound made them stop all their work. Ka-thump, ka-thump.
"What was that?"
a camper cried. John shook his head. "Probably just the wind." They went back to the tents. They pushed tent poles into the soft, smooth ground. They started to unfold the tents. But the strange sound made them stop again. Ka-thump, ka-thump. A chill of fear swept over the campers.
"What is that sound?"
they asked. "Maybe some kind of animal," John replied.
Ka-thump. Ka-thump.
But it sounds so close,
a boy cried.
It's coming from right above us,
another boy said.
Or maybe beneath us. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm drunk.
It's just a noise, John told them. Don't worry about it. So they set up the tents, and they spread sleeping bags inside the tents. Ka-thump. Ka-thump. They tried to ignore the sound, but it was so close. So close. And such a strange but familiar sound. What could it be? The campers wondered. What on earth makes a sound like that? Ka-thump, ka-thump. The campers couldn't sleep. The noise was too loud, too frightening, too near. Ka-thump, ka-thump. They burrowed deep into their sleeping bags. They zipped themselves in tight. They covered their ears. Ka-thump, ka-thump. It didn't help. They couldn't escape the sound.
John, we can't sleep,
they complained. I can't sleep either, John replied. Ka-thump, ka-thump!
What should we do?
The campers asked the counselor. John didn't get a chance to answer. They heard another ka-thump, ka-thump! And then a deep voice growled. Why are you standing on my heart? The ground shook. The campers suddenly realized what the frightening sound was. And as the ground rose up, they realized, too late, they had camped on the smooth skin of a hideous fucking monster. I guess we went too deep into the woods, John cried, his last words. Ka-thump, ka-thump. The monster's heartbeat. And then its huge, hairy head lifted up, its mouth pulled open, and it swallowed John and the campers without even chewing like Honey Boo Boo's mother. And as they slid down the monster's throat, the sound of the heartbeat grew louder and louder. Ka-thump, 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 ka-thump!
Seriously, if you want to donate to me, you can go to patreon.com/dune, patreon.com/dune, because goddamn, I just nailed that shit. Uncle Marv shouted the last ka-thump at the top of his lungs. Some campers screamed. Some gazed at Uncle Marv and silenced their faces tight with fear. Beside me, Lucy hugged herself, biting her bottom lip. Uncle Marv smiled, his face flickering in the dancing orange flames. Laughing, I turned to Elvis. That's a funny story, I exclaimed. Elvis narrowed his eyes at me.
Huh? Funny?
Yeah, it's a funny story, I repeated. Elvis stared hard at me.
But it's true, he said softly.
Alright, it's now a week later. I'm going to try to get this up. I actually left work early to go and do this before I go do something else tonight. And I got home an hour ago, and I would have started then, but I had to cop a buzz first. And, you know, you guys can blame the state of California, who looks down upon driving with an open container of alcohol. But I could have had a buzz an hour ago and started then, but whatever. Was drinking rum. Now, almost halfway done with my first tall can of Steel Reserve. So I'm ready to do it.
Chapter 8. I have no idea what's going on in this book.
I laughed. Yeah, for sure, I said, rolling my eyes. I expected Elvis to laugh, but he didn't. The firelight flickered in his pale blue eyes as he stared at me. Then he turned to talk to my brother. A chill ran down my back. Why was he acting so weird? Did he really think I'd believe a crazy story like that was true? Also, is it really my brother or just my black friend? Dune forgot.
I'm 12 years old. I stopped believing in things like the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and God a long time ago. I turned to Lucy. She was still hugging herself, staring intently into the fire. We just had those crazy fires in San Diego, and I was like, damn, Dune's girlfriend. It's crazy that the fucking news said all of, like, 11 or 12 fires, except for one, was most likely started by arsonists. And she's like, what? People do that? And I'm like, yes, there's people out there who start fires, then beat off to the destruction. And she's like, what kind of world do we live in? And I'm like, I don't know. And then I continued to drink, because that's how I escaped the world. Do you believe him? I asked, motioning to Elvis. Is he weird or what? Lucy stared straight ahead. She seemed so deep in thought. Though, I thought she couldn't be that deep in thought. She's a girl, by all means. I don't think she heard me. Finally, she raised her head. She blinked 182 times. What? My brother's new friend, I said, pointing to Elvis. He said that Uncle Marv's story was true. Lucy nodded, but didn't reply. I thought it was a funny story, I said. She picked up a twig and tossed it into the fire. I waited for her to say something, but she seemed so lost in thought again. The flames of the campfire had died down. Sparkling red embers and chunks of burning wood spread over the ground like that one part of Pirates of the Caribbean when it's just those embers that are floating above you and those burnt boards. Chris and another counselor carried fresh logs into the meeting circle. I watched them rebuild the fire. They piled armfuls of twigs and sticks onto the burning embers. They piled armfuls of faggots onto the burning embers. When the sticks burst into flames, the two counselors lowered logs over them. Then they stepped back, and Uncle Marv took his place in front of the fire. He stood with his hands in his pockets of his white shorts. The moon floated behind his head, making his long black hair shine, looking much like Andrew W.K. He smiled. And now I will tell the second traditional story of Camp Spirit Moon, he announced. Once again, the circle of campers grew silent. I leaned back like a cholo, trying to get my brother's attention, but Alex was staring across the fire at Uncle Marv. Alex probably thought the first ghost story was kind of dumb, I knew. He hates ghost stories even more than I do. He thinks they're silly baby stuff, and so do I. So, what was Elvis's problem? Was he goofing? Just teasing me? Was he fucking joshing? Or was he trying to scare me? Uncle Marv's booming voice interrupted my thoughts.
This is a story we tell every year at Camp Spirit Moon, he said. It's the story of the Ghost Camp.
Hey listeners, that's the name of this book.
He lowered his deep voice nearly to a whisper, so that we all had to lean closer to him to hear. And in his hushed tones, he told us the story of the Ghost Camp. Oh yeah, I forgot why I stopped last time. It's because reading these ghost stories takes so much out of me. Don't worry, I got malt liquor and I'm ready to go. All right. You can do this, dude.
The story takes place at a camp very much like Camp Spirit Moon. On a warm summer night, the campers and counselors met around a blazing council fire. They roasted hot dogs and marshmallows. They sang the camp songs. One of the counselors played guitar, and he led them in singing song after song. When they were tired of singing, the counselors took turns telling ghost stories and telling the legends of the camp, legends that had been passed on from camper to camper for nearly 100 fucking years. The evening grew late. The campfire had died low. The moon floated high in the sky, a pale full moon. The camp director stepped forward to end the council meeting. Suddenly, Dune burped. And also, darkness swept over the circle of campers. They all looked up and saw that the moon had been covered by a blanket of black clouds. A swirl of fog came drifting over the camp. A cold, wet fog, cloudy gray at first, and then darkening and thickening until the fog swept over the fucking camp, billowing like black smoke,
which I assume is menthol.
Tumbling and swirling, the cold, wet fog rolled over the dying campfire, rolled over the campers and the counselors, over the cabins and the lake and the trees and all the other shit all up in that camp and shit. A choking fog so thick and dark, the campers couldn't see each other, couldn't see the fire or the ground or the moon in the sky. The fog lingered for a short while, swirling and tossing low over the ground, wet, so fucking wet and silent. It moved on just as silently. Like smoke blew away, the moonlight shone through. The grass sparkled as if a heavy dew had settled. The fire was out, dark purple embers sizzling over the ground. The fog swirled away, swept over the trees, and viggity-iggity vanished. And the campers sat around the dead campfire, their eyes blank, their arms limp as Geo's dick at their sides. Not moving, not moving, not moving! Because they were no longer alive. The fog had left a ghost camp in its wake. The campers, the counselors, the audiobook reader, the camp director, they were all ghosts now. All spirits. All ghosts. Every last one of them. They climbed to their feet and returned to their bunks. They knew the ghost camp was their home now, forever. With a smile, Uncle Marv stepped back from the fire. I glanced around the circle. The faces were so solemn. No one smiled or laughed. It's a pretty good story, I thought. Kind of scary. I don't know what kind of antagonist fog is. It must be like those assholes that are trying to make e-cigarettes illegal. There was just a notice that was sent out that's like, the San Diego County Fair is proud to notify everyone that there's no smoking anywhere inside and no vapor. And I don't even smoke. And I'm just like, well, can't hang with these losers. Too fucking boring. Because, you know, smoking's not that bad, especially compared to what I'm into. But it doesn't have much of an ending. I turned to see what Alex thought. I'm so stupid. And gasped when I saw the terrified expression on his face. Alex, what? I cried, my voice cutting through the silence of the circle. What's wrong? He didn't reply. His eyes were raised to the sky. He pointed up. I gazed up too and let out a cry of horror as a black, swirling fog came sweeping over the camp.
Damn, reading that one took a lot out of me.
Chapter 9. My mouth dropped open as I watched the fog roll closer. It darkened the ground as it moved silently toward us. Darkened the trees, darkened the sky. This is crazy! Oh my goodness! I told myself. This is impossible! I scooted next to Alex. It's just a coinkydink, I told him in my hilarious way of saying coincidence. He didn't seem to hear me. He jumped to his feet. His whole body trembled. I stood up beside him. It's only fog, I said, trying to sound calm. It gets foggy out here in the woods all the time.
Really?
Alex asked.
I'm sorry. Alex asked in a tiny voice.
The black, smoky fog swirled over us. Of course, I replied.
Hey, we don't believe in ghosts, remember? We think ghost stories are scary.
Oh, we don't think that.
Whatever. I don't need to pronounce what he says correctly. He doesn't listen to Dune Reads Goosebumps. He doesn't even like ghost stories. But, Alex stuttered, why is everyone staring at us? He finally choked out. I turned and squinted through the thick fog. Alex was right. All around the circle, the other campers had their eyes on Alex and me. Their faces appeared to dim behind the curtain of dark mist. I don't know why they're watching us, I whispered to my brother. Fog billowed around us. I shivered. It felt cold against my skin. Because moisture's all cold and shit, that's why. The whole thing's a lot like Pirates of the Caribbean. This is all I can compare anything to in my life.
This book is somewhere between Pirates of the Caribbean and Haunted Mansion, that's all I know.
Harry, I don't like this! Alex whispered. The fog was so thick now I could barely see him, even though he stood close beside me. I know we don't believe in ghosts, Alex said, but I don't like this. It's too creepy. From the other side of the circle, Uncle Marv's voice broke the silence. It's a beautiful fog tonight, he said. Let's all stand up and sing the Camp Spirit Moon song. Alex and I were already standing. The other campers and counselors obediently climbed to their feet, their pale faces shimmering in and out of the fog. I'm sorry, Arlstein, but pale face is an offensive term to my people. I rubbed my arms, cold and wet. I dried my face with the front of my t-shirt. The fog grew even heavier and darker as Uncle Marv began to sing. Everyone joined in. Beside me, Alex began to sing, quieter this time. Our voices were muffled by the heavy mist. Even Uncle Marv's booming voice sounded smaller and far away. I tried to sing, too. But I didn't know the words, and my voice came out choked and small. As I stared into the swirling fog, the voices faded. Everyone sang, but the sound sank into the fog. The voices vanished, all of them except Alex's. He seemed to be the only one still singing, his voice pure and soft, beside me in the dark mist. And then Alex stopped singing too. The fog swept on. The darkness lifted. Silvery moonlight washed down on us once again. Alex and I gazed around in surprise. No one else remained. Alex and I were all alone in front of the dying fire.
It's a dying fire, dying fire.
Chapter 10.
I blinked, and I blinked again. Two blinks. I don't know what I expected. Did I think they would all appear again? Alex and I gazed across the circle in stunned silence. They had vanished in the fog. The campers? The counselor? Uncle Marv? A chill ran down my back. My skin still felt damp as if I pee-peed in my tinkle pants, and cold from the heavy mist.
Wah! Where?
Alex choked out. I swallowed hard. Gulp! I'll demonstrate with this steel reserve. I just burped while drinking. And I just imagined them passing each other in the hall like, sup? How you living, fool? You know, like, because things were going different directions. And my body was getting weird. A burned log crumpled into the purple embers. The soft thud startled me. I jumped, and then I started to laugh. Alex squinted at me, studying hard. Harry, don't you see? I told him it's a joke. He squinted at me harder.
Huh?
It's a camp joke, I explained. It's a joke they probably always play on the new campers here. Alex twisted up his whole face. He was thinking about it, but I don't think he believed me. They all ran off into the woods like some low-rent Unabombers, I told him. They hid behind the fog and ran away. They were all in on the joke. I'll bet they do it to every new kid. But the fog, Alex choked out. I'll bet the fog was fake, I exclaimed. They probably have some kind of smoke machine to help them with the joke. Alex rubbed his chin. I could still see the fear in his eyes. They probably do this all the time,
I assured him.
Uncle Marv tells the story, then someone turns on the smoke machine, and then Dune reads all the fuck about it, and then the black smoke rolls over the campfire circle and everyone runs and hides. Alex turned and stared into the woods. I don't see anyone hiding back there, he said softly. I don't see anyone watching us.
I'll bet they're all back at the cabins, I told him. I'll bet they're all waiting for us, waiting to see the looks on our stupid rube faces.
Waiting to laugh at us for falling for their dumb joke, Alex added.
Let's go, I cried, quoting the rancid album name.
I slapped him on the shoulder. Then I started running across the wet grass toward the row of cabins. Alex ran close behind. The moon sent a silvery path across the grass in front of us. Sure enough, as we came near the cabins, the campers all came running out. They were laughing and hooting like Darius Rucker, slapping each other high five, except for the one kid who lost a finger. He was slapping a high four, enjoying their joke. A joke they play on new campers when the fog rolls in, they told us. I saw Lucy laughing along with a bunch of girls. Elvis grabbed Alex and wrestled him playfully to the ground, with barely any erection. Everyone teased us and told us how scared we looked. We weren't scared even for a second, I lied. Alex and I figured it out before the fog cleared. They made everyone... That made everyone start laughing and cheering all over again.
Oh, woo!
Some of the kids cupped their hands around their mouth and made ghost howls. That's probably more accurate. That led to more laughing and joking. I didn't mind the teasing, not a bit. I felt so relieved. My heart was still pounding like crazy, and my knees felt kind of weak, but I felt so happy that it was all a joke. Every summer camp has its jokes, I told myself, and this is a pretty good one. But it didn't fool me. Not for long, anyway.
Lights out in 5 minutes,
Uncle Marv's booming command stopped the fun.
Lights out, campers!
The kids all turned and scurried to their bunks like the dirty, filthy fucking cockroaches they are. I stared down the row of cabins, suddenly confused.
Which one was ours?
This way, Eri, Alex said. He tugged me toward the third cabin down the path. Alex has a better memory than I do for things like that, because he doesn't have an alcohol problem like Dune. Elvis and two other guys were already in the cabin when Alex and I came in. They were getting changed for bed. The other guys introduced themselves. Sam and Joey. I made my way to the bunk bed and started to undress. A ghostly howl made me jump. I spun around and saw Joey grinning at me. Everyone laughed. Me too. I like camp jokes, I thought. They're mean, but they're kind of fun, like racist jokes. I felt something soft and gooey under my bare foot. Yuck! I glanced down. By the way, I was out walking my dog. Franklin, you guys all know Franklin, the other night. And I was wearing, like, flip-flops that I got from IKEA that were bright pink and had little sharks on them. And I was like, I stepped in 1 foot into the grass to pick up Franklin's shit. And I walked back and I was like, yeah, my foot's wet from the grass. And I, like, shook it out and it was fine. And then I walked another step and I was like, it's still wet and gross. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I pulled my foot out of the fucking sandal. And there was a slug in between my big toe and the toe next to it. And I was all super grossed out. And then I was like, why am I wearing sandals anyway? I'm a grown-ass fucking man. So I ended up throwing both sandals away and walking back barefoot. Because I'm like, what? Not that I was like, ew, it touched a fucking slug. Now I can't wear them again. It was just like, I don't need to be wearing fucking sandals. I'll go out in my tight-ass slippers that I also got at IKEA. That's my whole story. It was really bad and I regret telling it to you. And saw that I had stepped in a fresh puddle of blue slime. The cabin lights went out. But before they did, I saw blue puddles. Fresh blue puddles all over the floor. The cold blue stuff stuck to the bottom of my foot. I stumbled through the dark cabin and found a towel to wipe it off. A jizz rag, if you will. What are these blue puddles? I asked myself as I climbed up to my top bunk.
I glimpsed Joey and Sam in the bunk against the wall. I gasped. They stared at me, their eyes shining like fucking flashlights.
What is going on here? I wondered.
What are the sick, sticky blue puddles all over the floor? And why did Sam and Joey's eyes glow like that in the dark? I turned my face to the wall. I tried not to think about anything. I had almost drifted to sleep when I felt a cold, slimy hand sliding down my arm. I need to get a tattoo reminding me to either work on shit or enjoy myself, but not just do fucking nothing. I just took a break from this one. I was like, the cat's laying there. I'm gonna go rub my face in him. He's a little hairless sphinx cat, so it's maybe more weird, I guess, to rub my face. He's purring, and I was just laying there eventually with the cat. Not even petting him, just laying. And I'm like, how is this a good use of my time? And I do shit like that all the fucking time, for like days on end. And I need to either, like I said, work, or do things that I find enjoyable. But not just fucking nothing. Chapter 11.
Huh?
I shot straight up and then nodded out in the back of a toilet. Oh no, he just shot straight up in bed, still feeling cold, wet touch on his skin and shit. I stared at my brother.
Alex, you scared me to death, I whispered. What do you want?
He stood on his mattress, his dark eyes staring at me. I can't sleep, he moaned.
Keep trying, I told him sharply. Why are your hands so cold?
I don't know, he replied. It's cold in here, I guess.
You'll get used to it, I said. You always have trouble sleeping in new places.
I yawned. I waited for him to drop back onto the bottom bunk, but he didn't move.
Harry, you don't believe in ghosts, do you?
He whispered.
Of course not, I told him.
Don't let a couple of silly stories creep you out.
Yeah, right, he agreed.
Good night. I said good night. He disappeared back to his bed. I heard him tossing around down there. He had a very squeaky mattress.
Squeak, 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 umph, sleep.
Poor guy, I thought. That dumb ghost camp joke with the fog really messed with him.
He'll be fine in the morning, I decided. I turned and gazed across the dark cabin toward Joey and Sam's bunk.
Were their eyes still glowing so strangely?
No.
Darkness there. I started to turn away, then stopped and stared hard.
Oh no!
I murmured out loud. In the dim light, I could see Joey, stretched out, asleep, floating 2 feet above his fucking mattress.
This final chapter of part one of Ghost Camp is dedicated to the motherfucker I was sitting on my lap right now. Professor Franklin. Hello, dog Franklin. Chapter 12! Thank you for the kiss.
I scrambled to climb out of bed. My legs tangled in the blanket, and I nearly fell on my head.
Hey, what's up?
And he's not in my lap anymore. I heard Alex whisper below me. I ignored him. I swung myself around and leaped to the floor.
Ow!
I landed hard, twisting my ankle. Pain shot up my leg, but I ignored it and hobbled to the door like a hobbit. I remember the light switch was somewhere over there.
Damn, I'm super burpy. I just opened up a 16-ounce tall boy of Pabst Blue Ribbon, and it's killing me.
So I drank more. I had to turn on the light. I had to see for sure that I was right, that Joey slept floating in the air above his bed.
Harry, what's wrong? Alex called after me.
What's up? What time is it? I heard Elvis groan sleepily from the bunk against the other wall. I pulled myself across the cabin. My hand fumbled against the wall until I found the light switch. I pushed it up, which is generally the position that turns the lights on. That wasn't necessary. I added it for no reason. The overhead light flashed on, flooding the tiny cabin in white light. I raised my eyes to Joey's bunk. He lifted his head from the pillow and squinted down at me.
Harry, what's your fucking problem?
He asked. He was sprawled on his stomach on top of his blanket. Not floating in the air. Not floating!
resting his head in his hands, yawning and staring down at me.
Turn off the lights! Sam barked. If Uncle Muff catches us with the lights on.
Sorry, and whenever I see Turn Off the Lights, I assume it's some sort of a R&B song.
But,
I sputtered, turn it the fuck off. Elvis and Sam both insisted. I clicked off the light. Sorry, I muttered. I thought I saw something. I felt like a jerk. Why did I think I saw Joey floating in the air? I must be as creeped out as Alex, I decided. Now I'm seeing things. I scolded myself and told myself to calm the fuck down.
You're just nervous because it's your first day at a new camp,
I decided. I started slowly across the cabin to my bed. Halfway there, I stepped in a cold, sticky puddle of skeet. Oh, goo. Whatever. Synonym.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
The next morning, Alex and I found our white Camp Spirit Moon uniforms, white shorts and t-shirts, waiting for us at the foot of our beds. Now we won't stand out like sore thumbs, I thought happily. Now we can be part of Camp Spirit Moon. I quickly forgot about my fears from the night before. I couldn't wait for the camp day to get started. That afternoon, Alex tried out for the Camp Spirit Moon talent show. I had to be at the soccer field. A bunch of us were supposed to practice putting up tents. We were getting ready for an overnight in the woods, but I stopped in front of the outdoor stage at the side of the lodge to listen to Alex sing. A counselor named Veronica, with long, copper-colored hair, all the way down her back, was in charge of the tryouts. I leaned against a tree and watched. A lot of kids were trying out. I saw two guitar players. The second one, where I put the pause in there, was a different guitar player. They were playing together, but it was different people. A boy with a harmonica.
I'm going to the camp. I think I saw a tramp. In America. They say that tramps are slutty women. But in England, they're just homeless people.
A tap dancer. And two baton twirlers. I really hope the sound of my baton twirling showed up. Veronica played a small upright piano. Meow, 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 meow. At the front of the stage, she called Alex up and asked him what song he would wanted to sing. He picked a Beatles song like he likes. My brother doesn't listen to any new groups. He likes the Beatles and the Beach Boys. All the groups from the 60s. He's only 11 years old. He's the only 11-year-old I know who listens to the oldies station. I felt kind of sorry for him. It's like he was born in the wrong time or something. Let's see, this is around 96 probably. Let's see when this came out. Ghost Camp, 45th book, Goosebumps series. Came out, yep, 96. So that kid was 11. I was 10 when this came out. And I would have thought someone was weird if they're into that. But when this came out, what I was listening to was Offspring Smash, Green Day's Kerplunk, and NoFX's Punkin' Drublick. That's what I was listening to when I was a kid. And now I'm old and I don't listen to Offspring or Green Day because they suck. But still lots of NoFX. Veronica played a few notes on the piano and Alex started to sing. What a voice! The other kids had all been laughing and talking and messing around, but after Alex sang for a few seconds, they all shut the fuck up. They huddled close to the stage and listened. He really sounded like a pro, like Dune. I mean, he could probably sing with a band and make a CD, like Dune. Even Veronica was amazed. I could see her lips form the word wow as she played the piano for Alex. When Alex finished singing, the kids all clapped and cheered. Yay! That's a good thing! Elvis slapped Alex a high five as he hopped off the small stage.
Veronica called Elvis up next. He told her he wanted to sing an Elvis song since he was named after Elvis Presley. Just like I was named after a pile of sand. I was just going to lay there, lazy. He cleared his throat and started to sing called a song called Heartbreak Hotel. Well, it really was a heartbreak because Elvis couldn't sing a single note on key. Veronica tried to play along with him, but I could see that she was having trouble. I think she probably wanted to stop playing piano and cover her ears. What a bitch. Elvis had a high, scratchy voice, and the notes came out really sour. Sour enough to make your whole face pucker up. The kids around the stage started grumbling and walking away. Elvis had shut his eyes. He was so wrapped up in his song, he didn't even see them. Doesn't he know how bad he is? I wondered, thinking about Soulja Boy Tell Him. Why does he want to enter a talent show when he sounds like a squealing dog? Elvis started to repeat the chorus.
Heartbreak Hotel. Oh dear God, what about the smell? It's a heartbreak hotel. I learned from the Westboro Baptist that gays go to hell.
I didn't know what that song actually sounded like, so I just made it up my own, but you probably thought it was the same one. Let's drink more beer. I decided I had to get away from there before my eardrums popped. I flashed Alex a thumbs up and hurried to the soccer field. Sam, Joey, and a bunch of other kids were already unfolding tents, or pitching them, boner joke, getting ready for the tent-raising practice, fap, fap, fap. Chris, the counselor, was in charge. He waved to me.
Harry, unroll that tent over there, he instructed. Let's see how fast you can put it up.
I picked up the tent. It was bundled tightly, no bigger than a backpack. I turned it over in my hands. I'd never set up a tent before. I wasn't even sure how to unwrap it. Chris saw me puzzling over it and walked over.
It's easy, he said.
He pulled the two straps, and the nylon tent started to unfold.
See? Here are the poles. Just stretch it out and prop it up.
He handed the bundle back to me. I wished it was a bindle.
Yeah, easy, I repeated.
What's that noise? Joey asked, looking up from his tent. I listened hard. It's Elvis singing, I told them. The sour notes floated over the soccer field from the stage. Sam shook his head. It sounds like an animal caught in a trap, he said. We all laughed. Joey and Sam took off their sneakers and went barefoot. I took mine off, too. The warm grass felt good under my feet. I unfolded the tent and spread it out over the grass. I piled the tent poles to the side. The sun felt hot on the back of my neck. I slapped a mosquito on my arm. That's what it would sound like. I heard a shout and glanced up to see Sam and Joey wrestling around. They weren't fighting. They were just goofing, you know. Each one had a huge tent that was totally pitched, ready to go in one another. They both picked up tent poles and started dueling with them, eventually snoodling, having a wild sword fight. They were laughing and having fun. But then Sam tripped over a tent. He lost his balance, stumbled forward, and fell hard. I let out a scream as the tent pole went right through his foot. And this motherfucker concludes part one of Ghost Camp on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Having lots of fun reading Goosebumps, Goosebumps. Double thank you to the people that I thanked at the beginning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's about it. Once again, trying to manage my new scheduling with my girlfriend's new job where she's making way more money than me and way more successful and better looking and probably going to leave me. But where else is she going to find a dude that makes bootleg audiobooks of Goosebumps? That's not cool. It is funny. Her ex-boyfriend was a quote-unquote motorcycle club, but biker gang. He was the like head president guy of it. And me, I make audiobooks of the Goosebumps series. Man, she has run the gambit of
dudes on both sides of the tough guy playing field. Is that a thing? Whatever. Anyway, my name is Dr. Enos McGintley. This has been Dune Reads Goosebumps. And stay spooky, bitches.